How do you top that? I want to read out of John chapter 1 before I light the Christ candle this morning. Love this passage of scripture. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In Him, in Jesus, was life. And that life in Jesus was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so, Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, that in Him is life, and that He is the light of the world and of all mankind, Lord. So we thank You so much for that. And Lord, we celebrate His coming this morning. Thank You for that wonderful presentation by the children. And now, Lord, open up our hearts to just receive everything that You would want to speak to us. Lord, I'm asking that as we conclude our Christmas series here, that, Lord, the Spirit of Christ would so fill our hearts, so renew our minds in this season, that, Lord, we would just be so thankful, so full of hope, God, that Your hope would, Lord, cause us to endure in faith, that, Lord, Your love would cause us to labor in the work that You've called us to, Lord, that Your faith would just stir us to overcome everything that would stand in our way. And Lord, I'm praying that God, just that we would go forth with, just as You, Jesus, were born, but on a mission to go to the cross. It was for the joy set before You that You went to the cross. Let Your joy mark us as we serve You, Father. So, God, we just open up our hearts this Christmas season to receive Jesus in it. Lord, we need more of You. We recognize our need for You. Lord, we're not content with where we're at. Lord, we don't rely on where we've been. God, we say we come to You boldly and in a new way to Your throne of grace, opening up our lives and say, King of glory, come in to us. Change us, transform us, renew us. That, Lord, we would go into 2020, Lord, this new year and this new decade, and it would be the most fruitful, it would be the most effective one of our lives for Your glory and for Your kingdom. And we thank You so much for it. Yes. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen. 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 We're in our last week of our Characters of Christmas series, where we've been looking at the different characters in the Christmas story and trying to pull out the character of Christ. In each of them, we looked at Zechariah, we looked at Joseph and Mary, and thought this would be a good Sunday to look at the reason for Christmas, Jesus. And two of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible in regards to the Christmas story is, I love Matthew 1:21 and 1:23, where the angels come and name the Son of God, proclaim who He is to the world. And there's great significance in names. In Matthew 1:21, it says that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. So powerful. Jesus, He will save His people from their sins. And then Matthew 1:23, and guys, if you're with me, you can start putting them up on the screen. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, the one who will save us from our sins, and Emmanuel, the God who was with us. You know, there's great significance in our names. Our names mean something. And when God names something, it is named for a specific purpose, and a specific destiny. And I'm going to read, and this is going to be kind of heady, so follow along. My style a lot of times is more to give scripture than kind of preach off of it, but I'm going to read this because it's so full of information and knowledge and revelation about the importance of God's name that I want it to encourage us and stir faith in us in this Christmas season. I mean, you know, it's interesting this time of year as we give gifts. You know, if you try to give gifts to people who you think have everything, that can be quite a challenge, isn't it? Amen. What do you say about the person who is everything? I mean, it's kind of a challenging Sunday to preach on Jesus when, you know, everything that can be said about him has been said. I mean, John summed it up well at the end of his book. If all the books in the world could be written, you know, about him, there wouldn't be enough to contain all that could be said, all that could be told about the greatness of who he is. So I want to read this because it's significant in who God is to us and who God wants us to be in carrying that great name to the world. The name of God, one of the richest fields of revelation which God has given us concerning his own being, is that which pertains to the names of God. A name in scripture is often significant of the nature of a person, whether the names be of angels, men, or God. The Hebrews say of God and his name, himself is his name, and his name is himself. The names of God are basically divided into two groups in scripture. There's the creator or the Elohistic names of God, and the redemptive or the Jehovah names of God. All right, so you got the creator name of God's, which start with El, and the Jehovah name of God's, which are more about his redemption for mankind all throughout scripture. So the creator or El names of God are those which have to do with the relationship of God with his creation or creatures all throughout history. The name El signifies to be strong, powerful, or mighty. All right? The name El means strong, powerful, or mighty. When the name El is used in the compound name, it is generally associated or used to show some power or attribute of God in relation to his creation or creatures. So we see all throughout history that God would reveal himself, or his people would know him as El Elyon, for example, the God who is strong, powerful. He is the strong, powerful, almighty, most high God. That was important because there were so many idols and so many other gods that was worshipped. But this God was the God most high. He was the most strong, the most mighty, the most powerful God. Egypt, the Egyptians found that out real quick, didn't they? And the deliverance of the Israelites. He's been El Shaddai, God Almighty, God All Sufficient. He's El Bethel, the God, the house of God. El Gibor, the mighty and great God throughout history. He's been Emmanuel, right? The God who was with us. And so we see some of the different names that God would use to reveal himself. He is strong, he is mighty, he is powerful in relation to his creation. Then there's the redemptive or Jehovah names of God and how God would be known or reveal himself. All right? And with that, Jehovah is the I am that I am. He is the I am that I am. It signifies to be, or I will be all that I will be. It tells us that God is the eternal, the unchanged, or the unchanging one. And he will be all that he has ever needed to be. It's pretty powerful. This is more particularly seen in the compound redemptive names of our Lord. Okay, and so these are always linked to Jehovah. He says of himself, the Lord is my name, and this is my memorial unto all generations, is that I will be all that I need to be to my people. So throughout history, he was known as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Kana, the Lord who is jealous for his people, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is peace. We lit the peace candle today. in Jehovah El Elyon. He is, again, the Lord who is the Most High Lord. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Gibor, the Lord who is mighty. So forth and so on. And so, listen to this now. This is powerful how it all begins to tie together. I told you this would be a little heady, little knowledge, right? Randy Couch is loving this right now. He is like eating this up. All right? Each and all of these compound redemptive names show how Jehovah meets every need of man in his redemptive power. The ultimate revelation of the redemptive names is to be found in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is Jehovah, Jehoshua Christos, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jehovah's Savior's anointed. So the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, here it is. Stay with me now. This is significant. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest redemptive name ever to be revealed because it comprehends in the triune name all the compound redemptive names of Jehovah. All of them are found in that name. It is the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ that God meets every need of man in his redemptive power. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's ordained redeemer, and all Old Testament redemptive names point to and find their consummation in his redemptive name. It is in the name of the Godhead bodily, in the triune name for a triune God. As in the plan of redemption, it has pleased the Father that all of the fullness dwell in the Son, so it is also has pleased the Father that the fullness of the divine or Godhead name dwell in the Son. All redemptive names are thus comprehended in this triune redemptive name, Jehovah, Jehoshua Christos, the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. Our God is not only strong, mighty, and powerful, but he is able to be all he ever needs to be and to do all that he ever needs to do for you and I. That's the God we serve. When we call upon the name of Jesus, we're calling upon all power, all might, all glory, all honor, all capability, all power and might to do what it is that God needs to do. There's power in the name of Jesus. When he said, when you pray in my name, right? There's power in that name. We don't have any idea at times what we're really releasing when we're standing in that kind of authority and calling upon that name. Names are significant. I realized that as a father. When it was time for my sons to be born, it was like, uh-oh, we've got to name them. That's a weighty responsibility. And so the first one God gave to us pretty quickly, it was Josiah. Josiah Austin Miller. Josiah, the fire of God fits his personality. So we prayed. We said, yes, we want him to be like Josiah, great hero in the Bible. But Austin means guided of God. So we needed some guidance with that fire, the guided fire of God. Then Ethan came. Ethan was born shortly after Cindy's brother was killed in a car wreck. And so his middle name is Peter. Cindy's brother was Peter. And we turned a time of mourning into rejoicing. Ethan Peter Miller, faithful and true is what Ethan means. He's kind of the glue as the middle guy in the family. If you get around Ethan, you realize he's a faithful and true guy. He's the glue that keeps us all together. He's the steady one. He's probably the most normal out of all of us in the Miller family. Having our third boy, we needed some what? We needed some peace. We needed a man of peace. I don't know if we got it or not, but we named him Noah. Noah, William Miller. William means noble character. We want him to be Noah, a man of noble character, a man of peace. And so we thought and prayed about the names of our children. One of the most powerful times of the year this year that I'll never forget in 2019 is when Ben Du was set into ministry, and we had the privilege of doing that, the privilege of God sending him here and calling him here to be a part of our church in this city to reach the next generation. And it was a powerful moment as we got to stand here as elders and lay hands on him and set him into ministry and do it with his father. And I'll never forget when his father, Pastor Ken, who has really served as an apostolic figure to this church, was the main man that God used to help us start this church over 25 years ago. And as he stood there and put his hand on his son and prayed for him, he called him out by his name, Benjamin. And when he said it as a father, there was a power, there was anointing that was released, that just all of a sudden, it was like the spirit in the room changed. And all of a sudden, you just felt the presence of God. And just most times when you really feel the presence of God, you want to either just fall on your knees or sing for joy or weep. And many of us began to weep as he called him by his name, Benjamin, son of my right hand. The promise being fulfilled that God gave you to me to steward, and now the promise being released that now we release you into ministry. And right then, God speaking out of Psalm 127 that it was a time for the sons to be released into ministry, for the sons to reach the sons. It was a time where God was going to build the house and birth new sons and daughters into the kingdom to fight this great battle that we're in, the battle for souls of this next generation. It was like heaven opened as the Father was releasing the Son into ministry. You know, there's great significance in names. His name shall be called Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. He does what only he can do. No one else can save us from our sins. You know, there's nothing like a father who knows the best of what we really need as children. I want you to think back on your Christmases of past. What was your most significant gift that you ever received? You know, as I think back on my Christmases, and we talk about the Father, we talk about the Son, we talk about who God is, this Emmanuel, God with us. What is this God like? Well, first of all, this God is a God who gives. He's a God who gives. And this Christmas season, as we share gifts and all of these things, we got to remember that God is a God who gives. I love what Mary said about him in her song in that scripture. Pull it up, guys, if you would. Let's read it real quick. She said that my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has what? Has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The mighty one has done great things for me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have life everlasting. God gives. And it's the Father who knows the best of what we need. Not what we want. Big difference. But what we need. And as we are in this Christmas season, I want you to think about what is it that you need from God? Not what you want from God, but what is it that you need from God? You know, the most significant gift, Christmas gift I ever got from my father, as I think back on it, was a gift at the time I didn't even want. He had been kind of prepping me all Christmas season for this gift that he was getting me. And I was thinking, you know, it might be a Stretch Armstrong or some electric car or something like that that I probably would have gotten tired of playing with after about a week. And he had built it up all Christmas season and Christmas Day. And finally, after We had opened up all the gifts under the tree. He brought me outside and had me blindfolded. And he took the blindfold off and he said, look, and it was a basketball goal in my driveway. And as I looked at the basketball goal, I was so disappointed. And I looked at him and I said, what? I said, I'll never use that. Much to my neighbor's chagrin, as a young boy, hours and hours and hours playing on that basketball goal at night, my neighbors would tell me later on that many a night they went to bed, they disconditioned themselves, they learned how to fall asleep to the sound of a basketball being dribbled and shot in the driveway. And not only that, but I would end up going to college on a basketball scholarship. It would pay for my education, pay for my master's degree. The father saw something in the son that the son couldn't see. It wasn't something that I wanted at the time. It was something that I needed to fulfill a purpose and a destiny that God had for me. The father could see the gift that I really needed to become part of who I was to become. His name shall be called Jesus because he will save us from our sins. He can do for us what no one else on planet Earth can do. And not just save us from our sins, which is our greatest need that we have. Our greatest need that we have. You know what I'm hoping in this Christmas season is that we come back to a place in our hearts that we realize that the best we deserve in life is hell. The best in you and me, the best that this flesh has to offer, the best that it can stand, the best that it can offer, the best that I can give God is like filthy rags. Yes. That's perspective. See, when you come to God with that kind of perspective, you appreciate grace and mercy. And you understand the significance of love. Yes. When we begin to think that, man, somehow outside of God in us, there's some goodness that we can bring, we've lost perspective. And that's the greatness of the Christmas story, is that God came for people who were totally worthless to come for, to save us from our sins. Yes. To do for us what we didn't even want him to do. See, let me go back and read John again, and it'll stand out to us, and maybe you'll appreciate a little bit more what I'm saying. And I want us to think how you got here, and maybe you were born sinless, and maybe you've been a perfect, obedient child your whole life, and never missed church, and God bless you. Man, I commend you for that. I wasn't that way. Probably like most of us, if you think back on life, think how many times before you got here and started trying to live right, God was after you. And think of all the excuses you used to not really respond to him. And think about today how he's still after you and wanting to deal with you and wanting to change you and wanting to use you. And think of all the things you let get in the way or distract you, or all the excuses you use, or the procrastination. I'll do it next year. No, you won't. And see, let me go back and read. I read the positive part while lighting the candle. Let me read the whole part now. Are you with me? Now that I'm into preaching. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was what? The light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness what? Has not overcome it. He goes on to say, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own what? Did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He came as the life and the light of all mankind, but he wasn't received. By most, he was rejected. You know, the amazing part of the Christmas story is that how it is the glory of God to conceal the matter. Proverbs is so true. It is the riches and honor of kings to search it out. How all throughout history and the prophets would declare and speak about it, as we've heard in Isaiah this morning, and scriptures written down, and all of life dedicated for this moment to be known, that a son's going to be born, a star's going to be given, the time, the date, his name, all of this stuff, angels' declarations, dreams, and how in the Christmas story, so few are seeking and recognizing it. Yes. And how Jesus could live 33 years on planet Earth, and so many miss it, miss the real point for him coming, to save them from their sins. It shows the reality of the darkness that is within each and every one of us. Amen. And as we think about this Christmas season, he's the God who gives. He's not the God who gives you what you want. He's the God, thank God, who gives you what you need. You know, as a young man, as a teenage boy, I got most of the times what I wanted. I happened to mature fast, had somewhat of an intellect, believe it or not. I had athletic prowess, decent looks. I knew how to manipulate people. I mean, I learned how to work it. Are you with me? And most of the times I got what I want in life. And you know what it did? Brought a lot of heartache, pain, and destruction to my life. Sure, it brought moments of pleasure, absolutely. But all of a sudden, I'd spend so much time working for that date and then get about a week into it and have to figure out a month how to get out of it. Yeah. That was the pattern of my life over and over and over again. Man, if I just get that, it'll make me happy. If I just do this, it'll make me happy. Man, if I just perform at this level, it'll make me happy. I mean, I scored 57 points in a game. It's still a record in the city without the three-pointer. All right, you with me? It's still a city record in 1987. After the game, you know what I was thinking? I wish I would have scored 70. It still did not bring contentment to my soul. Over and over, performing, looking, will this girl, will this performance, will this do it? Grasping for things. I want this. I want this. And then all of a sudden, I show up to a meeting where somebody's preaching about Jesus. And I go, I don't want that. And God says, you need it. And by his grace, I responded to it. And he touched my heart. And it was everything I'd been longing for and desiring my whole life. And at 21, I began to live and discover who the heck I was. He's the God who gives us what we need. Yes. You know, it's interesting in this world. I mean, it's somewhat terrifying that we live in the world of this, telling us all day long what we want and what we need. All day long, right?
Yes.
All day long. As if something else is going to satisfy us except Christ and Christ alone. You know, he's God, he's Emmanuel, he's with us. He's the God who gives to us everything we need. What else does he do? He's the God who guides us and guards us along the way. We see this in the Christmas story over and over and over. Matthew 2, 1 through 2, says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. Love what Psalm 23, verse 3 says, probably the most recognizable psalm in the world, that the Lord is our shepherd, and as the good shepherd, he guides us. He refreshes our soul. He guides us along the right paths for his name's sake. Proverbs, chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he'll what? He'll direct your steps. He's the God who guides. My devotion, and I'm in the Psalms 118 this week. Got to read Psalm 118:8, the very heart and center of the Bible. The very center of the Bible reminds us, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans or yourself. The question of life is, who is guiding you? Who is leading you? It is either God to the path of life and light, or it is you to the path of destruction. You can either trust God, trust me in that, or you could find it out to your own demise. But he's the guide, God who guides us to the right path, to light, to life. In that, as we read the Christmas story and see that as Jesus begins to come and give and guide, when it really begins to happen, when you really begin to set your life apart for Jesus, things don't get easier. They get harder. Yes. You want to be a knucklehead? Man, it's not hard to be that at all. You want to live right for Jesus? Warfare begins to break out. And we see this. Isn't it interesting that in the time of Jesus coming to the world, joy to the world, right? There's rejoicing and joy, but at the exact same time, there's weeping and great mourning, because Herod the king is threatened by the birth of this new king who will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So at the same time where the birthing of Christ is taking place, there's the killing of every boy under the age of 2. And in the midst of all of that, God is able to protect his people in his purpose. He's the God who guards. He gives, he guides, he guards. Matthew 2, 13 through 15, when they had gone, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for a child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. It's interesting when you try to guide yourself, it's like this subtle path of destruction. When you let God guide you, it's like all of a sudden warfare begins to break out. Especially when you really open up your heart and say, God, I really want you to lead me. You know, Cindy and I, we've been doing that this year. I mean, we've been doing that in a way that we hadn't done it since we first got married, you know, when God put us together. And God's been speaking, revealing so many awesome things that some have come true, some are on the process of coming true. And we've been standing in faith and believing and standing on the promises. And after 23 years, you learn how to fight the good fight of faith and stand. And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand firm then, as Ephesians chapter 6 says, to put on the armor of God, to do warfare, to pray, to gather the saints, to do all that. And this last 6 months has been the most difficult time of our life. And we feel the closest we've ever felt to God in a long time. We feel like we're on the edge of stepping into the greatest promises he has for us in the church that we've ever received. But it's been a battle. It's been a battle. And when we're right at our breaking point, we remind ourselves, no, we're right where we need to be. Because this reminds us that we're doing something significant. I mean, this week, I just take it as no coincidence that, you know, it's a time, I want to rest, set myself apart, prepare for the Lord, do all this. The last 4 days, I've barely gotten out of bed. Every day I was just praying. I've never missed a Sunday in 20 years, never missed a time to preach. I'm like, Lord, this ain't going to be my first one. Everything to try to get to this moment. The whole week. The whole week. It's like, man, what else can manifest? What else can happen? Nope, you're the God who guards. You're the God who guards. You're the God who protects. Not going to be easy. Not, you know, we're never going to come into our blessings, come into our purpose, and our own strengths and our own abilities, and trusting in ourselves. Always got to be through humility, be through trials, be through brokenness, so that our trust will always be in the Lord. God in this season has re-solidified things and trust in him in my heart like never before. If 50's midlife, then man, thank God for that. That at 50, you know what? There's a renewal of soul that God is my strength and my purpose, and I'm not trusting in anything of the past except a complete reliance of falling on your knees in need of him. Man, that's a great place to be. A childlike place to be again, that God, I'm out in childlike faith, living on the edge of, Lord, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to rearrange, whatever you need to prune, whatever you need to get out of my life, God, do it. Yeah. And he's done it. Yes. And it's not just words. It's like, Lord, I'll walk through it, whatever hell I've got to go through. And he's done it. That's what we've been through. What have you been through coming into this Christmas season? And you know what? We rejoice. Because he's the God who gives. He's the God who, who guides, who guards. And lastly, he's the God, and this is so important, who governs. We see in the Christmas story too, in Luke 1, verse 31 through 33, the angel reminds you will conceive and give birth to a son. You're to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his what? His kingdom will never end. Isaiah chapter 9 says, for to us a child is born, a son's given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. There'll be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You know why the church has failed to make impact in the world in such a way that we see as we're in the 20th year in the 21st century? We see the demise of morality in our culture. We see the lack of Christian influence in our society today. We see the many seats empty on Sundays before Christmas. We see the lack of lights on the houses around our communities. It's like you almost forget it's Christmas by the lack of just its non-presence in our city. And you know why? Because the church has tried to build itself in such a way to make its members comfortable. And a comfortable church will never be a church that has authority in the earth. See, he's the God who governs. And if there's anything that God wants to do, is he wants to give his people his authority. And you know what? We'll never have authority unless we're tried and tested through trials and tribulation. See, Jesus is known by our scars, and it's why he has the ultimate authority, because he paid the ultimate price. You know, I was meditating on this last night, and you know, we tend to forget. But Jesus is the answer to our problems, not Donald Trump. You know, the Bible is the final authority. The Bible says what is reality. The Bible reminds us of where we take our stand and who we are and what it is that we proclaim. We set reality, not CNN, not MSNBC, not Fox News. The Bible should set our emotions, our soul, and our spirit into place to think whatever's right, whatever's noble, whatever's pure, whatever's excellent, or whatever's praiseworthy. Think about these things so that as we think about them, because what we think about is what we then put into practice and we do. And as we do it, the peace of God that passes all understanding then guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What do we expect the world to do? We should expect the world to be crazy. And you know what? We should expect us to be the answer. To not be bitter, to not grumble, to not complain, but to do what Paul said, to use as an opportunity to shine like stars in the universe. Let me tell you, this is our opportunity. This is our time. And we stand on the great history of saints who's gone before us and laid down their lives for us. And you know, one day when it's all said and done, we'll be together in heaven because of the blood of Christ and our faith in Jesus and him alone, not by works by which no man will boast. But let me tell you, when we stand there all by the blood of Jesus, when we're gathered around, let me tell you, we're going to be with some pretty, pretty amazing people. Do you know what it's going to be like forever to be in the company of people who laid down their lives so that we could have faith in Christ? Oh, what did you do for Jesus? Well, I went to church when it was convenient. I mean, is that what our generation will have to say about our faith? What are we leaving for the world to believe in? I mean, God wants to give us authority. And you know what authority comes? Authority comes in humility. It comes in servanthood. It comes in sacrifice. It comes in laying down your life. Philippians 2. That he who had the right to grasp everything he could have grasped in the Godhead and the fullness of authority and all that, he laid it down, he emptied himself, he became nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being found in human appearance, being obedient even to the point of death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God's not looking for a church that wants to make people comfortable. God's looking for a church that wants to train people to sacrifice and to serve and to carry his authority in the earth. Let me tell you, there's a time coming when once again, from the pulpit,
will dictate where this country's gone, not from the TV screens, not from the cell phones, but from the Word of God, because He rules and He reigns. His government is great, and the peace of it, there will be no more end, never, ever. He is looking for a people. It's the reason He gave His life. For us, a city, a kingdom, a people who will stand up, who will sacrifice, who will believe, who will serve, who will proclaim, who will have no fear, no fear to say, don't like me, persecute me, let me be the uncool guy, but I'm going to love Jesus, and I'm going to love you through it, and I'm going to let His authority get on my life to where it's so powerful that when I step in places, His change comes, His kingdom comes. Come on, that's what God's wanting to raise up here once again. Awaken us, church, to the reality, to give us authority in this city to see things changed. I'm tired of the spirit of slumber. I'm tired of the spirit of stupor over this city. I'm tired of the Herod spirit that tries to kill the birthing and renewal of Christ in people's souls. God wants the abundance of His blessing to be released in us and through us. Will you believe? Will you sacrifice? Will you serve enough to let it see released? Last thing I'll say here, and the importance of all this, and the God who gives and guides and guards and governs, is think about this. Man, who? He's Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the King of Kings. His kingdom rules and reigns. It knows no end. He is the sovereign God. He leads His people by His providential hand with wise benevolence, meaning that the goodness of who He is and the kindness, He's always wanting to lead His people into the blessing, into the better things. It's the very heart and nature of who He is. But He's a God of might. He's a God of power. He is strong. That is our Lord. And He calls us who are weak to stand with Him and to serve Him. And Paul gets this revelation to a sinful city, Corinth. Sinful prostitutes and, man, it's like Vegas. Just lost people. I mean, they needed two letters. They were so dysfunctional. Are you with me? I mean, lost people, a lost city. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to these people, He says, man, you, the old is gone. The new has come. This Jesus has come into your life. And it's His love that now compels us that we should no longer live for ourselves, but live for Him who loved us and died for us. Paul's writing to these people. And then he goes, let me tell you something. Let me tell you who you are. He's given you something. He's the God who gives. He's giving you the ministry of reconciliation. For you are Christ's ambassadors. Whoo! A diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by a government to represent it on a temporary mission as for negotiating a treaty. A diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by one sovereign or state for another as its resident representative. We come representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords in His glories. See, I carry a name now. It's not Ronald Rudolph Miller Jr. It's the name of Jesus. I come in His name with His authority as His ambassador. I speak for the sovereign and His providence to say, fall on your knees. Love Him. Serve Him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the glory. He's the one you're looking for. Every need, every gift you open, the excitement of Christmas, it lasts for about a day. You open up the gifts, then you're tired of them. You'll never get tired of this one. When He gets in your heart, when He gets in your soul, He touches you in a way that no one else can. Oh, I love what the kids started with. I love the song that they sang, the first one. I stayed up till 3 o'clock last night listening to this song over and over and over again, saying, Lord, let it get in my heart in a fresh and new way. I want to come like this to you, Lord. Oh, come, all you faithful. Come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him. He's the one born, the King of angels. It's Jesus. He's born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. That's who we get to speak for. That's who we get to represent. He's Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation. Sing, citizens of heavens above. Glory to God. Glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. He's Christ the Lord. How do we let anything else fill our hearts or capture our imagination or our attention? He's Christ. He's Christ the Lord. Josiah, Ethan, Noah, he's Christ. Yes. Jesus, yes. The Lord. Yes. Yeah, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. He's Word of the Father. Word of the Father. Remember, and the Word was with the Father from the beginning, and the Word became flesh. Now in flesh appearing, we've seen his glory. God, as a pastor, I apologize for churches who've given you nothing but religion. This is Jesus, the King of glory. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, I don't want to miss my day of visitation. Here's what I want to do to conclude. I want to play that song by Michael W. Smith. I want us to just sit and meditate and hear it and think about what it was like for Christ to come. But I also want you to think about what it's like for him to come again. To come again into your heart. And then the consummation of the age, that final day when he does come in the fullness of time. And to be able to stand and celebrate and to glorify and to know that, man, I did my part in this great plan of redemption. Just want us to meditate on this. Let the glory of God get on you. And the worship team, come on up. I want us to go out singing a song and we'll be done. Go ahead, Chris, play that. Dim the lights. I just want you to meditate on this. Father God, we adore you. Jesus, we thank you for coming. Lord, we prepare our hearts to celebrate you. Lord, more importantly, to be about your business for your return. Lord, as we listen to, oh, come all ye faithful. Lord, we want to be one of the faithful ones that adore you. That, Lord, are ready when you return. That are found being about the Father's business. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to, Lord, just rearrange and discern through all the distractions and through all the things that hinder. God, let us in this season go into the new year aligned in our hearts, aligned in our will, aligned in our minds with your will and your purpose. Oh, come, let us adore you, Lord. You're the King of glory. And we love you. Anyone want to make a commitment to Jesus? If you're there and out there and just want to make a fresh commitment to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. I'll pray for you. And we'll be done. God bless you, my brother. Stand up with me. Anybody else? Come on up, my sister. Come on up. Kept me up late last night praying. It's a season of first fruits. It's a season of good news. We're going to see many like this. Many young people committing their hearts to Christ. We're going to have the incredible privilege over the next decade of watching God great things through their lives as they sanctify themselves and set themselves apart like Mary in the Christmas story. God's going to do great things for them, use them in incredible ways. God's drawn them here to hear this message and, more importantly, to respond to it. So you all are first fruits this harvest of this new decade. God's setting you apart to love him and to serve him wholeheartedly. So press in. Go for it. Let nothing hinder you. Let no sin beset you. If you'll commit your heart to loving him. He's going to use you all in mighty and powerful ways. So, Lord, we just seal this setting apart. Lord, I just sense in their hearts they're right with you. But, Lord, more than that, Lord, they desire to walk with you. And so, God, we just thank you for the privilege of helping them steward this call. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Gang, we're going to see more and more of this all throughout the year. It's going to be more exciting news of what God's doing. God's going to be doing so many new things this year. Your head's going to spin. Okay? So be ready. Be ready. Use this Christmas season. Get refreshed in your soul. Get renewed. Get rested up. Remember, all right, the good things are coming. I'm going to see this girl married over the next decade. You're going to get some good man, I'm telling you. He's got to be a good man for you. But you've been so faithful to the Lord, you're going to make me cry. But God's given us more and more like these great. I mean, it's more and more is coming. You with me? God's doing some amazing things in this young man. I'll let him testify about that later. But more and more, I'm telling you, it's a season of first fruits. I've got so many secrets I can't tell you, I'd get in trouble. But they're good things. In the right time, they'll be revealed. No, I can't, James. I get trouble. Confidentiality. I get trouble. If you knew what was in this brain, but it's good things. Because our Lord is good. Our Lord is good. He's doing good things in us and through us. Come on, there's a lot to celebrate in the days to come. So I want you to be hopeful, and I want you to be excited, and I want you to be prepared. And the greatest privilege in it all is that we just get to be a part of it. You know, we get to be a part of it. So God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Have a wonderful Christmas. Gosh, it's only 3 days away. And we will be back here next Sunday, the last Sunday of 2019, the last Sunday of a decade, not only a year, but a decade. And so let's believe for God to do great things. The next two Sundays, we're going to kind of really be talking about who we need to be as the people of God going into 2020. And then we're going to be kicking off our 2020 vision series for 2020. So a lot will be happening in the new year. Great thing. So have a wonderful time with your family and friends over the Christmas time. We'll be praying for you, thinking about you always. We love you tremendously. So God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Leadership meeting will start right after the service. Last one of the year. So be ready for that if that applies to you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. God bless you.